You ready to podcast?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Chill.
Well, but I'm here.
Sick as fuck.
Yeah.
Can you hear Paul's voice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds nice.
It sounds
nice and nasally.
Stroggly.
Oh, you're actually sick.
Yeah. No, that's not just for show.
What episode is it today, Paul?
106.
Episode 106, and we got two-thirds of Survivor Girl here.
Been trying to land the other third of that forever.
Just we
won't,
have,
won't
well,
come on.
You know,
he's
life.
Like a fucking salmon, always slipping through my fingers.
Life happens. We have
elusive
Joe yeah. Flock. Say hello.
How's it going?
And Brandon Singenthaler, both past guests.
Hi there.
Both past guests,
yeah.
And both their episodes are locked away in the premium section now.
Yeah.
Ooh, thank you.
Because they're both under episode... Joe Flock was episode 8.
Brandon, I was in a hospital that time.
Brandon Singenthaler was like episode 48, maybe?
50.
Oh, you just made it under the belt.
Yeah, episodes 1 through 50 are premium mm-hmm. now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so you can become a premium for $2.
Yep, or you can download one episode for like 25 cents or some shit.
Some shit like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you can listen to Joe Flock talk about tattoos.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what was that band? Setting Fires in Salem?
Yeah, Setting Fires in Now Defunct.
And Five Top Fives, too.
Five Top Fives we talked about. God, life has changed so much since then.
Whoa, wait, you're not in Setting Fires anymore. Do you still do Five Top Fives?
Oh, yeah.
We yeah.
Just,
no, it hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
Still doing tattoos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see? Everything's still good.
And when Brandon was here, Survivor Girl had just started.
You still in right? that?
Yeah.
It was like a year ago.
I think I am. Sometimes.
All right. So life is pretty much the same other than setting fires.
You know what is different, though?
You have a different job.
I do, yeah, but I don't care about that.
Okay.
I care about how much different our life is now than it was in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
One of those, you might be a 90s kid, or you guys remember this?
You
like
know
the
what? You know what was really acceptable in the 90s?
Mm,
I've been
kids.
Saying this all day. Like, this is what made the 90s awesome, that this
I'm
was...
I'm a nice man!
That was acceptable. Like, that was acceptable.
True.
Like, I've been saying it all day. Like, I'm an ass man. And we were proud of this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's an ass man. Dun, dun.
Yeah, I'm an ass
yeah,
man!
Yeah, he's an ass man. We were, like, excited about this. Like...
Yeah, you guys are pioneers at that in the 90s. Now it's frowned upon, I guess.
It was, like, if you just take a look at wrestling then.
Yeah.
You know, we got two wrestling fans here with us.
Yeah, you
including
do.
Including myself. And if you look
I'm
at...
I'm an ass man.
And I love the lyrics. He's like, I love to stick them. I love to shove them. I love to watch them.
And now in the time of the yoga pants, I mean, you think this song would be really popular.
Dude, there's one line in this song where he's like, behind me, you can feel the heat. That's why all the women are following me down the street or some shit like that. But I just loved it. Like his
wait, when
ass
you're behind me?
Heat.
Okay, so because he's farting?
No.
Yeah, that's what I got from that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just got such a hot ass.
Wow. I wish you could see. I wish people could see your eyes.
I'm still picturing.
Your eyes went to fucking heaven.
Farts coming out.
Yeah, he's got such a sweet ass.
Just think about such a sweet ass. You think about that in 1998, right? Mm. He was the ass man. We're all ass men.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We love to kick asses, and we love to have nice asses. We had nice
Wait,
asses,
yourself?
And we
okay.
kicked asses, and we loved asses, and we shoved asses.
Shoved?
We stuck
yeah,
them.
That's one of the yeah, lyrics in the song.
I push an ass or two.
He sticks. He loves to stick on me.
Face first.
But anyway,
you should do a cover album, honestly.
Now, the way this started was like my girlfriend was born in 1995, right?
Ah,
so she doesn't understand what world we grew up in. When we were 12 years old, we were ass men.
Yeah, and she was born.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, everything was like that. Suck it.
Yeah.
Think about that. Middle fingers in the air, stone cold.
You can't really do suck it anymore, I don't think.
But
I think that's kind of frowned upon more so than ass men.
I think DX still does. Well, the DX ain't coming around.
Right.
But when they did in 2011, they were still saying suck it.
Okay.
But it seemed
I think even two. What's that?
The Rock was always talking about pie.
Poontang pie.
Poontang
pie.
Yeah, but I was like, poontang?
Poontang pie?
Yeah, Canuck? It's got some gravy fries.
But I think that was before, like, the PC movement was, like, super huge. Like, 2011, everything wasn't super PC yet.
It was
yet.
A different world in 98, though.
90, okay, let's go back there.
Yeah, think about what was on TV, even.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn Pamela Anderson, Baywatch.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like super softcore non-porn.
Or did she have that superhero show yet?
You're talking about Stripperella?
Yeah.
I think VIP was between there if we're going to debate the career of Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I'll hop on IMDb.
It? Yeah, do you know how she got her start, Bob?
Sucking
any of you guys know?
Was it
Pamela Anderson got her start? No. She was discovered at a fucking Vancouver... What's their Canadian football team? Vancouver Argonauts or something like that. She was discovered in the crowd. She was wearing a Labatt blue t-shirt, and a fucking camera guy got her on a jumbotron, and fucking Labatt blue was like, we need her to sell our shit.
These are the days
and they
when
hired her.
All the women at the sports shows weren't on
Pamela Anderson fact
phones. Dude
Charles nice in one. Charge was their first appearance mm-hmm. on TV other than the
Labatt blue.
Yeah, that's not credited on IMDb, oddly enough. I don't know why.
Labatt
Married
blue
with Children
girl.
But yeah, and, you're right, 98 was VIP. That was the year of VIP.
Hell yeah. Weird. So, anyway.
That you know that much about Pamela Anderson?
Hell yeah. I know her career, man.
What's she doing now?
She's got her breasts taken out. I can tell you that much.
What?
Dude, hell yeah.
She chopped all her hair off. Like, buzz cut.
Did she?
Yeah, it's awful.
No boobs, no hair. What the fuck happened to her?
I don't know what happened.
What's up with her lips? So, anyway. But the thing about the 90s... Okay, before Ass Man.
Yeah.
Got me thinking about this. Was I read this morning that Playboy was going to take nudes out of their magazines?
Well, yeah, because no one's reading it anyways. So they're going to put this up and be like, no, we'll bring them back. It's like Kiss taking off the makeup. Like, put it back on.
Yeah, their explanation was you could get porn for free at any click. So why put a nude woman in a magazine anymore? We're going to put clothed women in provocative poses.
Better question, why print a magazine anymore?
Truth. Well, I guess the reasoning behind, I guess if I'm going to be a Playboy aficionado.
Yeah, please do.
You guys can step in anytime.
Mm-hmm.
if I'm going to give their reasoning, they have still a international magazine sale base. You know, Playboy UK, Playboy France. Those Playboy
Russia.
They
don't have computers over there?
Well, those magazines are still selling, and one of the things that drive them are American women and stuff. Like, interest from the American magazine will drive more international sales than it actually does in America.
Huh.
Because those people in those other countries want to see American women, you know?
Just like we want to see people. Yeah,
we got the damn fine broads over here.
Sure.
Well, some of them British bitches are hot.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen them?
Yeah.
They're big titties and good accents.
Good accents. You ever seen a British chick get fucked? It's kind of off-putting sometimes.
I'm not
like
sure.
Like that Cockney accent? You're like, wow, this is abrasive.
That's like a real deep British woman.
Yeah.
If you're going
what do you mean,
fucking
deep British.
Well, that's a real slangy English accent, Cockney.
Okay, yeah.
You know, you go to somebody from, like, London, they're not speaking like that.
Okay, yeah. They a lot of talk about
you got,
tea
like,
and
a
shit.
Real, like, a Cockney bitch taking cock.
Yeah, it sounded like Alfred from fucking the new Batman.
Say,
yeah.
Can you do it for me? Do a little impression.
Soys of a tangerine.
What?
No,
hello?
I
can't.
Yeah. Oh, fuck me right in my puss. And, like,
there
that
you
type
go.
Of shit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that
sounded
kind
of Australian.
That was
kind and
of
sick.
Oh, right.
Australian people.
Oh, you got my cough.
Oh,
you
shit.
Caught it.
Lost my headphones like sway there for a second.
You did.
God. You didn't throw them.
But anyway, so
it fell off.
Wait, if you it's think like about so. It, if you think about it, though, so I put Playboys behind me today.
Yeah.
To discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's you think? Whoa, gosh!
This is
now,
the first time we're looking at porn on the podcast.
That's a Playboy, right?
Yep, yeah. Those are tits.
Now they're gonna the take this. They're gonna take it and like do this to it.
What?
Okay, we're covering the nipples and
put
feet.
Your fingertips over them. That'll be off-putting.
I was gonna say they're just touching the magazine.
It's Sean's hand over top of every single fucking picture.
It'd be way better if it was Hugh Hefner's fucking like old claw over it. He's like, you see the nipples no more.
That's funny.
Those
or
are mine.
If he just stands in front of it, like,
what's
weird,
that?
He just poses in front of every woman weirdly.
1953 is when the first Playboy came out. 1953. So
yeah, and that's when actual, like, they were showing nipples, and a little bit of
They didn't vagina. Show any vagina till like the 70s or 80s.
Not even like the slit, the top slit?
No, they were always
I think it was
pictures.
Obscured by a hefty female mustache.
Ah, Muff. That yeah, true. The American, sure. if you will.
Where I work now, there's a bunch of like, we gotta go in and grab these keys every morning, and there's a bunch of old Playboy magazines, and so like, every time you go to grab the keys, it's like the box of keys, and directly in front of it, like, perfectly, it's just this girl with her fucking
muff.
Yeah.
And her muff is up to her belly button.
Yep.
That's pretty. I like that. That I think that's like, coming back.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a cool job.
That sounds like a proper place to store keys, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
On top of the muff pile.
I don't like.
Well, no, in the muff pile.
Oh, right on.
Right, they're obscured.
Right underneath the muff.
I don't like vagina hair at all.
Yeah. No.
But.
Not a fan either.
Not at all. But,
Bob?
I would.
You're the only one that didn't answer. Okay.
I don't mind.
I love it. I love any vagina.
I wish muff would come back.
Can I share a vagina hair story?
Yes, please.
One time at work,
yes,
there was a group of young ladies, and they were talking about genital piercings. None of them were purchasing them at the time, but I don't know where the conversation went to get to this point, but one of the girls outbursts, so the whole shop can hear it, and everyone in the shop fucking laughed, but she goes, "Ugh, I ain't got no 5-year-old bald pussy."
Holy yeah. shit. And you're like, I don't want to pierce that pussy.
Oh, I burst out laughing. Oh, okay. It's just like, I don't know where this came
that's
from,
the,
but
that's
I'm just
the
gonna
thing,
let it go.
That's the thing that. With girls. Like, I learned at a very early age that, like, don't tell a girl that you like a completely shaved vagina. Just don't do it, because they'll be like, what, are you into 12-year-olds? Like, it's just, it honestly gets you bad flack back. You have to be like, oh, I love landing strips.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't, you want it just bald, shaved.
Well, it's not like you
like
got,
a
like, a landing strip
bottom.
That's, like, 4 inches long of hair and shit like
stash?
That. No, I'm saying like a landing strip that they let grow out like for a long time. Like,
Hitler's,
you know, like
stashes are pretty sweet.
You know, like the dude from Disturbed, how he has that's that soul weird. Patch, but he just let it go. Like, that, I'm talking about that, but
this
a landing strip.
Second Stop. Podcast, we talk about Hitler in a row.
Yeah. Welcome to Hitler Cast.
A Disturbed goatee hanging over a vagina.
Yeah, yeah. That was
no,
the. Yeah.
Put that away. I don't want it.
No, I don't want it either. I'm just saying. Like, but a landing strip
I would
usually, like,
love to
up.
See somebody give birth through that.
Oh.
Yikes.
Like, it would, like, split.
Like a little.
That was good. I like that. Ooh-ah-ah.
Thank
that
you.
That got a bell.
Yeah,
and
did.
The baby's naturally bald, just like him.
Oh, man. Paul sounds so struggly. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. So, anyway, Survivor Girl's here.
Yep.
The sock hop? How, what is it called?
Sock.
How do you pronounce that? Super easy. Sock hop.
No, there's more
two
to
words
it.
I know, but when you put them together,
ooh,
what's it say?
I don't know.
Kate and H next to each other.
Sock hop?
What
I'm
trying to say
H?
Is there's more to it than just the word sock hop.
Halloween.
It's a Halloween sock hop?
There you
I
go.
I thought it was like the slaughter sock hop slaughter or something.
You're
like
close.
That.
Closer.
Sock hop serenade.
Further
seance.
Seance, that's awesome.
It's the slasher sock hop.
Slasher sock hop.
Two.
Boom, my new.
Oh shit.
Two.
This is the sequel.
Second one.
I went to the first one. It was a blast.
Sequels are never as good as the first.
You guys doing it?
We're hoping to rectify that.
Well, wait. Oh, yeah. Aliens and Empire Strikes Back. All right. Yeah, Terminator 2. We all.
Empire. Oh yeah.
Hey.
We are the exception to.
Yeah, what's you're up there with James Cameron. We get it.
It's
we're
in my
striving
pocket.
For that.
Bob. Hold on, Bob.
I'll hook you up with a lighter. There so anyway, go. The slasher
you,
sock hop. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
slasher sock hop.
Words I know.
For
did
some
I get
reason,
it?
I thought it might have been slaughter sock hop.
Yeah. I mean, that's close. Slaughterhouse.
I mean,
that's probably why.
Slaughter's pretty fucking that's sweet.
Yeah.
Slaughter. Yeah, I like that one.
The metal band.
Yes.
Slaughter.
It'll fly to the angels.
I still like. I'm an ass man.
I don't
feel like I drove my 90s point home, dude.
Yeah,
the ass man.
You
Howard Stern.
It?
He was farting on things.
Yeah, and like, turn your speaker upside down and sit on it, and I'm going to hum into
that
it
was
while you come.
Way before the 90s.
Oh, my bad.
Anyway, gosh.
Well, your girlfriend wouldn't know about that either.
Private Parts
was in the
did
90s.
Did come out in the 90s, so.
Yeah, so you
missed
it.
That was a biographical flick about his experiences prior.
It's so awesome that he played himself, too. Like
that's
he's like 19-year-old fucking Howard Stern. He looks so fucking old.
His Howard fucking Stern with a mustache.
Caterpillar
is
mustache
weird
and his fucking
true.
Sixth like grade gym teacher afro.
Fucking, but anyway, the Slasher Sock Hop. Is that the Musica again this year?
Yes. October 30th, which is the day before Halloween.
There you go. Mm-hmm. A Halloween show before Halloween.
Well,
it's better than after.
Yeah.
Or on it because no one wants to go because there's so many fucking
like
parties.
Like 2 years ago was like Ichabod Crane
dude,
or something like that did one on like
we
the
did
November 5th.
November fucking something like that. Third,
and there was like one person dressed up. Yeah, I think. Yeah, yeah.
It, wait, this isn't a. Oh, god damn it!
This actually happened.
Yeah,
and I was there.
I remember attending. Yeah, and I was like, it's really weird to have a Halloween show in November.
You're like, yeah, we know. All right, anyways, later, Sean. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for being the only one here.
So
he's dressed up. It was only him.
Breaking Amish.
So who's playing the slasher sock hop?
Well, aside from Survivor Girl, we also have Jeff Clem and the Letters, mm-hmm. Younger Still from Kent, and Telemann.
And then I also heard Survivor Girl's on Spotify now, ain't it?
Yes,
you
we are.
You heard correctly.
I'm about to type it
today,
in. Survivor's also on Spotify.
Oh, good.
They're in
we
like
should
a,
have them on.
They're in a new commercial. I keep seeing them, and they're playing a song in the commercial.
You're talking about Europe. Is in a commercial.
Oh, whatever. Fuck them,
and
too.
And it's like, what the fuck is it? Final Countdown?
Yeah. They all sound the same.
The dude's doing the final... what the hell are they... They're like... He's like microwaving something, and they're like, Final Countdown!
Oh, man. You know when they wrote that song, they're like, this is a hit. They never thought it'd be a fucking microwave commercial.
Yeah, I saw it on YouTube.
Where do you think our career's gonna go, guys?
When did that song come out?
What? Final Countdown?
Yeah.
Probably like 87.
Were microwaves were microwaves
that's usually
popular.
Like 84. I'm going to say, the way that synthesizer was, it's got to be 84.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up for me. But yeah, microwaves would be popular. Why do you fuck do you think they cooked their Chef Boyardee in the 80s?
Could have been what they wrote the song about originally.
Oh.
Damn, well, you're off. Far. If you were playing Price is Right, you would have lost.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be a year
you went
over.
Will
you? 1986.
But so are you guys recording new music as well at all?
Yes. We actually just wrapped up our new album. It's actually going to come out that same day, October 30th.
Perfect timing.
Oh, nice. You got them all pressed and nice.
Yeah, are you going to have copies there or digital downloads?
You know what? Both.
That'd be awesome if you guys like sold pumpkins with the digital download on the back of them, but real pumpkins.
Is the best costume going to get a free CD?
I would hope so. My parents won best costume last year.
What were they?
I don't think they have a CD.
What were they?
They were the Maitlands from Beetlejuice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
It was pretty awesome.
Was it like the eyes and like the fucking huge face?
Yeah.
I remember that. That was
my
parents?
My mom made that.
Fuck,
She's pretty crafty.
That rocks.
Beastie Boys song.
Have you still been hitting the bowling alley while we're talking about your parents? You know, you ain't been hitting the lanes?
Dude. I kind of gave up on bowling. I just am over it. But my mom is.
You're like bowling went out with the 90s,
my
motherfucker.
Dad, that's my dad's only outlet in life.
I'm no longer an ass man or a bowler.
And then my mom's there every day. So
I feel bad. My dad ended up hurting his back over the years and all the surgeries, and he has neck fusion and shit. So he can't bowl anymore. He's it came to a point where a doctor was like, "You can never bowl again.
Like you're fucking out."
Yeah. So all of us stopped.
Oh well, yeah, it was kind of like a black mass spell. Yeah. You're like, "No more bowling,
no more
guys."
Bowling. Dad went every day.
Did he go every day?
No,
oh, okay.
He was in like a bowling league and stuff like that. But yeah, so
pour one out for him.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you pour out a little liquor.
I just noticed that it said shatterproof on here. I was like, that's not why they did this.
Can I hold that?
Yeah, please.
I think it is.
It is shatterproof, Bob. It's plastic.
Every time I've ever hung out with a skinhead, they've smashed a 40.
That's why. Well, I thank them. Wow, yeah, I totally remember that.
That's the costume.
And I didn't know that it was your parents because it was fully masked.
Yeah, they totally played it cool. I didn't even know it was going to be them either, so.
Oh, I remember that.
Were you there?
Yeah,
I went as Punisher, and
I
ruined a pair of pants.
I was there.
Because I had taped white duct tape all around him to make the white booties that
white
he has.
White duct tape, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
White
and
duct tape.
Fucked my shit up.
I wore
those are $30 pants that
jacket.
I just bought.
That's everyone's excuse for ruining pants, white duct tape.
Yeah.
White duct tape.
Yeah, it wasn't cum.
That is very funny. Josie's got me on that cum all the time.
Well, that's a weird way to say that.
I know.
Yeah, I didn't even really think of it like that. The cream of the crop.
Yeah, the cream always rises.
You guys
want to
take a fucking break, and then we'll come back and talk more about Survivor Girl and Jesus and things like that. Things of that nature.
Definitely.
I'm
Jesus.
Listening to Survivor Girl right now in my ears.
Did you guys have some songs, too? Hell yeah.
Well, that was actually Macho Man in there.
Featuring Macho Man.
You, the one.
talking about Jim Cornette. When I listen to him bitch about things like when he goes on a rant about the Young Bucks, I feel like he is doing it just to cut a promo and be the character of the cranky old fucking man. Now, I really feel the legitimate heat he has for people like Joey Ryan because he's really against the mixed gender wrestling and tag team. And I'm kind of with him on that, especially when I saw the mixed gender wrestling on Lucha Underground.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to get into.
Because I was watching, I'm a huge Matt Cross fan.
Dude,
and
so,
I'm watching,
as you should be.
I'm watching him wrestle Sexy Star or that girl's name was. And God, and they build this girl up the whole episode for him to just whoop her ass in the ring for 5 minutes. And I was like, I'm Ray Rice, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, this is weird. But, yeah, so the intergender wrestling. But, yeah, so Joey Ryan's got the tag team with, Lexi, what the fuck's that girl's name?
Lexi Bell, the porn star?
No, I wish.
Fuck, yeah.
I met her one time.
Really?
Dude, yeah,
tell me about that.
I got an autograph and a Polaroid with her.
She actually autographed it.
Did you two sweet her bush?
No.
give her a little...
we were talking about, smoking weed and listening to Counterparts and shit like that. It was pretty neat. You fucking get... I was like a fanboy, though. Like, I walked up to her like, oh, God. And she was like, what are you doing? I was like, fanning myself off.
I don't want to cry in front of you. I've came like, so much to you.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, I was like...
I've already wasted enough bodily fluids on you.
Whoa. And then, yeah, you look at this picture of me and her together, and I look like the happiest man I'd ever been in my life. But, yeah, so we just talked about, smoking weed and Counterparts and Duck Dynasty beards. She told me if I grew a really long beard to give her a call. I was like, hell yeah.
Oh, wow. You think you could fuck her?
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
That was like her way of saying it.
Really probably couldn't. She was just friend zoning me.
Yeah, so when you come around, then she has standards?
Oh, that's great.
How much did you have to pay for that?
What, the picture?
Yeah.
It was like $10, maybe. Something like that.
Huh. Right on. Comic book men charge $20, I think.
But you could just walk up and talk to her for free, but they had DVDs there. I bought a DVD and got it signed. And, whoa, hello.
I think some bell for the DVD. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, because she even autographed the DVD. So
yeah,
like,
we talked about that. You're rubbing it on yourself and shit. That's probably in the vault,
too.
Oh,
yeah, that's pretty funny. With the marker, it's like real heavy Sharpie marker on a glossy case.
Oh, you love heavy Sharpie marker.
And
he has it all over his dick, so that's weird.
Yeah, I was like, I fucking put the DVD down on the table. Like, it got the autograph, and I set the DVD down on the table, and fucking so there's just this giant smudge, like the...
Go
Brandon,
on.
Brandon's look when I said that. The marker's just like smeared, and it's smeared on the Polaroid too, because when the guy handed me the Polaroid, I grabbed it right on the autograph. So my thumb just
like a fucking amateur.
So like they were like, you just rubbed it all over your dick on the way out. Just rubbed the picture and just smeared the Lexi Bell autograph right across it. But anyway, Lexi LaRoe or something like that. What the fuck's her name? Something. But they do... They're like called the world's cutest tag team.
Oh, Candice LeRae?
Candice LeRae.
Way off.
And Johnny Gargano.
Samsonite.
I said, Johnny Gargano's like her actual boyfriend.
Yeah, right? But...
So, fucking...
Dude, I love Candice LeRae.
Her and Joey Ryan fucking are like a tag team, and they wrestle other men and women tag teams, and they'll do men on women wrestling, and I don't know, man. It's just weird.
I've seen her take some of the nastiest bumps I have ever seen.
Yeah, dude. She is pretty nasty, though. And like AIW does a lot of like six-man just tornado matches, and she fucking tears it up.
We'll get in there and tear shit up.
So I'll... Yeah, I got her back on that one.
You guys go to the AIW shows a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
We've been to a few.
Yeah, we've been to... There was a time when we were going like every month, but I got slapped by Too Cold Scorpio. That was pretty cool.
You got slapped by Too Cold Scorpio.
Yeah, I actually have a video of
Flash
it happening.
Flash Funk.
Yes.
Did he do a 450 splash afterwards?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Does he still do
and
that?
And he won. And he was probably...
Oh,
he's
got to be 55.
That might have been...
How old is Too
close
Cold Scorpio?
To match of the
look
night.
Too Cold Scorpio. Looked
it
up.
It was incredible.
It was very impressive. He,
He's a hell of a worker. He always was. Even in 93.
Yeah.
Was that the same night the Young Bucks were there?
Yes. No.
No.
No, 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 it wasn't. But it was, I think.
It was like 2 months in a row, though.
That was the night that Dennis Stamp was there from fucking
Stamp from,
Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat. Yeah,
God,
Dennis Stamp.
Fucking, he was on Colt Cabana's podcast.
Yeah, he got fucking booked.
They, I think he talks about it. I'm not booked, so I'm not doing it. He talks about that. He's like, I just happened to say one line, and then they make it repeat. What is that? What even is this?
It's a Mickey's cab.
Mickey's knew you were talking about being an ass man.
So it's got a donkey in there with a man behind it.
It's a riddle.
Can you figure it out?
Yeah, ass man.
You're an ass
man. I'm drinking... All right, so people that don't know right now that we just stopped, I'm drinking Mickey's and they have the things inside of them that are...
they're like kind of like hieroglyphics or some shit.
Hieroglyphics,
what were they?
Yes.
Yeah, hieroglyphics.
I thought they were just riddles. I don't think they're that old.
No, these were carved into the beer caps by the ancients.
Yeah, the Egyptians, the ancients.
But no, that one's totally... Shake that ass.
You they're hieroglyphic.
Be specific.
Anyway,
that is true.
So anyway,
fair enough.
Yeah, they're riddle. They're
it
picture.
Said
riddle.
Shake that ass.
Oh, shake that ass.
Shake that ass.
Shake the hat ass.
I wish
cool,
it.
Give me two cold Scorpio.
I wish
H,
it would have said mood at ass girl.
Yeah, that'd
instead
mood at ass girl.
What's two cold Scorpio's age?
49.
49.
Again, if you were on Price is Right, you would have lost.
Yeah, I said 55.
Yep.
But he's doing a motherfucking 450 splash at 49 years old.
And it was still impressive. Like
he was like the first man to do it.
He was the first big man because he's, you know, he's a heavyweight. He's pretty big. And it was pretty impressive whenever he, a guy
even
his
when
size
he was Flash Funk, he was real fat doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, funny story about Flash Funk is I went to Monday Night Raw in 98. And,
hell yeah, the 90s, motherfucker.
When they
yeah
used to...
VIP was on.
They used to... It was. I watched it right before it. I went with my dad.
John's girlfriend was 3. Yeah.
We, before Monday Night Raw, they used to film Shotgun Saturday Night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had seats right next to the ramp. I was like 3 rows out. And coming down the ramp during Flash Funk... or Flash Funk was coming down the ramp during Shotgun Saturday Night. Mm. That was the first wrestler to slap my hand. So that's
hell yeah.
So then to come full circle when I'm 30 to have Flash Funk slap me in the chest, that was pretty
we
awesome.
Gave you like a knife edge chop.
Yeah.
Or what
he, okay. So they came out into the crowd and he was fighting. I think it was a Ricky Shane Page.
Yep.
And he like knife edge chopped him. And I was videotaping. And I got this all on tape. And he followed through and caught me. It was fantastic.
And you were like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It was like that.
I almost sold it, but there was like a bunch of people behind me, so I couldn't sell it.
I was like, what's that video of? I just watched it the other day. It was Seth Rollins as Tyler Black doing a moonsalt off of Fat Guy.
Oh, the Fat Guy.
That's
impressive.
I was like, man, that guy, like, it made his day. He has, like, a shelf of a stomach. You might as well jump off of it. You know what I mean? You just get up there and go. So, did you see the article in fucking Kayfabe News that was CM Punk's MMA debut at Absolute Intense MMA or whatever the fuck? They did, it was like he decided to debut MMA at an independent event, and they basically described AIW wrestling the same venue, everything. They just called it Absolute Intense Martial Arts and shit like that. Instead.
Really?
Yeah, it's a pretty funny article on Kayfabe News. You like that site, Paul?
I've never been to it.
Dude, Kayfabe News is great.
You should have went to it the day he posted the article about fucking... Scott Steiner's math degree.
That's probably.
I just posted one. I just posted something today from Kayfabe News. I don't even remember what it was, but every day there's something funny from Kayfabe News.
Hilarious.
Was that the article about Dean Ambrose's rope evade?
His thousand. He does the Dean Ambrose. Let's explain this to you. Dean Ambrose.
I'm like, why are you guys laughing?
He's got.
I don't get it.
Dean Ambrose got this spot. He does
every fucking match
where he gets. Like, he gets, like, hit, and he, like, stumbles back into the ropes. Like, he's going to fall in between the top and middle rope.
Okay.
And when he falls back, he holds on and kicks his legs back so that bounce, like, hits in the inside of the ring. His shins hit the inside of the ring.
The way Sean is describing it, it sounds way cooler than it actually
is. So then it bounces him back in. So he goes, like, here, I'll demonstrate.
Yeah, he flips around and then flips back over. Yeah. Well, okay.
He looks like he's falling out, but then he bounces back and does a lariat.
A what?
Somebody like
lariat
clothesline.
Okay.
They'll close
a lariat.
That's a technical term right for it. Yeah, we got
some fucking jousting.
Got some smart marks in this fucking booth.
Kayfabe news is basically the Onion for wrestling fans.
There you go.
Or like Hard Times for
hard times.
Hard times is fantastic.
Yeah, so that's what Kayfabe news is. So it's very entertaining for us.
And so he's Steve. I mean, Scott Steiner's got an honorary math degree.
Fuck.
Yeah.
No, it's Scott Steiner. I try to tell him all the time. He's a Michigan University graduate. He's a college-educated man.
Yeah.
What he says makes sense.
You got a 33 1/3 chance of winning.
Listen to this math.
I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning.
Because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me. He's not even going to try. So small joke.
You take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one
and then add 66 2/3 percent.
I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at sacrifice. See, Joe,
the numbers don't lie, Paul.
And they spell disaster for you
at sacrifice. I knew that line, dude. Dude, I'm in.
But no, that math makes sense.
It makes perfect fucking sense.
You carry the one.
No, it's fucked up. Like, you saw this YouTube video where they just put it all in front of him. Dude, look, it adds up. I'm like, you don't even know that.
Just
like,
all the math on a chalkboard.
They just wrote the numbers that he's saying.
Don't question Big Papa Pump.
Yeah, obviously.
He's got a math degree. Daddy.
Yeah, he's from Michigan.
You want to get put in the Steiner recliner.
Dude, he'll give you a Frankensteiner through the table.
If we were talking about Botchmania outside, do you ever watch the Steiner Mania? They have like two of them that are just Botchmanias of Scott Steiner.
Uh-uh.
There's like two of them called Steiner Mania, and it's just like, and there's one that's so fucking funny. He's like, I'll be the moderator, and fucking Jeremy Borash is like mediator, and he's like, ah!
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, he's fucking. One of my favorite cuts of him too is him really angry at. I don't know if you remember this, but Disco Inferno, when WCW was really bad, had a Disco Duck with him.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. It was like a plastic duck, and Scott Steiner really hated the duck.
Wasn't that when like Disco was like hardcore champion or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah, and he had the Disco Duck, and Scott Steiner hated the duck, and he took a fucking metal bat, and he's like, I hate this duck, and he started beating the duck with a metal bat.
Okay.
Scott Steiner's awesome.
It sounds like it.
He really is.
Was that the guy with the chainmail?
He's like, everybody wants to know where I've been.
Is that the guy with the chainmail?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right on the sunglasses.
I'm hungry.
I remember. Yeah. And I'm hungry. Did he come out with Temple of the Dogs?
No, that'd be dope.
That'd be way
better. He'd just be like, I'm hungry. Let's go to Cracker Barrel.
Hey, Petey. Hey, Petey, let's go to Cracker Barrel.
Let's go to Cracker Barrel. I'm hungry.
That's awesome. That's like a shtick of his.
I mean, he plays it up. He yucks it up.
I would imagine.
I mean, sure
it is wrestling.
I'm sure he has to know because, like, for the longest time, he was a babyface for the longest time.
Yeah.
And he was, like, clean-cut, nice guy.
And he grew that soul
and
patch.
Then, yeah, you, who would have known, you bleach your hair blonde and you turn into a complete fucking yutz. Like,
didn't he have the ape drape before he bleached his hair?
Yeah, he had the long black hair and...
Good old hockey cut.
Crazy fucking crazy colored tights.
But he would do the motherfucking Frankensteiner.
Dude, big dude, Frankensteiner. That's where
he
it came
still
from.
Does motherfucking Frankensteiner. I'm sure he's working with Jeff Jarrett's fucking group, Global Force Wrestling.
Global Force.
They're working in the minor league baseball fields.
Yeah, they like that.
At least they're working.
That's right. I hear they got a some sort of TV.
Wait, they put the wrestling ring inside of like the Akron
field.
Ducks.
Yeah, and you can sell out like kind of by basically around where home plate would be.
So not sell out, but
and then no, they're only averaging like 200, 300 people.
Right on. Yeah, it's not
but,
bad.
Yeah,
it's,
but
it's
you,
all in the infield. Like
yeah.
they'll put chairs around the
and
outside.
Oh, cool.
And
right
then
on.
You partner up with basically a minor league team, and you
it was
it's
weird.
Like
me
sponsored for the night.
Me and Elena went to a
they're
comedy show.
They're even doing some at actual games too.
We went to a comedy show at the Akron Civic Theater, and like they had all the chairs set up on stage. And the whole theater was empty, but the whole stage was full of people.
Mm.
So it's kind of like that, I guess. Like, yeah. The whole, like, where people usually sit, they're not there. They're in the field
well,
with
they,
the
they
wrestling.
Still had them in the lower deck.
Oh, okay.
Like, I went to an ARW show. I can't remember exactly where it was.
Is the Lake Erie Captains field or something? Like,
yeah,
way out
on
there.
A minor league
sounds,
field.
Sounds about right.
Way out there.
Yeah.
But the Neon Ninja did a spot off of...
the Neon Ninja. The I've dugout? Never heard of the Neon Ninja.
Oh, shit, he's, you out-wrestled Sean.
He's gone through AIW. Mm. He's seen him more than me, though, but...
He's very acrobatic.
Yeah, he's very...
Is he like Super Dragon?
He's very like Ricochet-esque.
Oh, like that.
Prince yeah, but Puma. not as Ricochet.
Dude,
but
Prince he's on Puma, that same... Ricochet is a nutcase. This would be a guy you'd be a fan of, Paul. Yeah. Paul likes like, I like the high flyers. Guy. Yeah.
Well, like, even the Hardy Boys. Like I like them a lot because I was like, man, they flip off a lot of shit.
Well, now
that's
they
what
have,
I like to see.
Now they have guys that are like that were fans of the Hardy Boys, like you.
Yeah.
That do that shit like 30,000 times cleaner.
Oh hell yeah!
That makes any
right
sense.
On. Yeah. Like, well, I mean,
like that's the one of the things that
was it NXT that we watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, those dudes fucking go nuts. I like watching that shit. That shit's fun because those dudes like have to earn the fucking respect.
But
so they do crazy shit.
We're gonna just talk about the Young Bucks.
Okay. I'm going to check out again. Go ahead.
I'm not a fan of the Young Bucks. Yeah. You guys are.
You know, we actually got to meet them. We have our pictures taken because we're fanboys.
They're really nice guys.
Fucking super.
Oh, and they're super fans.
You know, we threw up the Too Sweet in the picture. It was great.
Because they're Bullet Club, right?
They're Bullet Club.
And Bullet Club. Kevin Nash, I've heard, has went ahead and Too Sweeted the Bullet Club. And he kind of gave them the blessing.
Yeah, they basically
like,
ripped off the whole NWO and DX gimmick. And that's what it is.
And now they're even, we're jumping all over the place. But they're doing the Balor Club in NXT now. He's got, because.
And you know why?
Because he was a Bullet Club.
He was the founder of the Bullet Club who comes over to NXT. Pro Wrestling Tees made the Balor Club shirts. Or I'm assuming it was Pro Wrestling Tees because that's like the best T-shirt website for wrestlers.
One of the things about them is they're not like a super profit. They're there to make money
for
the
wrestlers.
They make
the money for the wrestlers. The wrestlers sell them. They just print the shirts and they give them the outlet.
WWE's gone after them about Jim Neidhart lately. Did you hear about that?
I saw that. I own plenty of T-shirts from that site because I think it's a really good website. But they basically, so everyone was wearing like Balor Club shit. Because there's all those fucking smarks in the NXT arena.
Yeah.
So then they're like, well, we need to capitalize on this. Because I don't know if you remember, like, over the summer, WWE tried to trademark the hand gesture of the Too Sweet.
The Too Sweet.
They tried to, and then they couldn't do it because they were like, it's just a hand gesture. Mm. So they lost that. So they're trying to capitalize on some sort of thing. Because the Bullet Club is, like, this big thing, but it's in Japan. Mm. And now since it's coming into like Ring of Honor and all over the indie scene.
GFW.
Yeah, it's all over the indies. Mm. They want a piece of that, so now they're having...
I was about to say, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see fucking... the Young Bucks might be a stretch. They might end up there, but you get the Young Bucks and fucking... Gallows. See them
Gallows,
all kind of
and that's
come
the thing.
Back
it's
in.
Like, yeah, because Gallows was there before, and they didn't do shit with him. They made him... fucking Festus, and that
the
was
the best stuff he did was the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then they don't know what the hell to do with him. Just like this isn't Bullet Club, but it's look at Drew Galloway.
Mm.
He's fucking killing it right now.
And you're talking about Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre was in 3MB.
I actually watched Bound for Glory the other day, TNA's pay per view, and he was in the main event with EC3 and Matt Hardy. But it was like, I stooped low and watched a TNA pay-per-view. It was weird. Football was so disgusting that day that I was like,
did you feel cheap after watching it?
If I was like, I didn't feel as bad as everybody I listened to talk about it. Ugh. Like, everybody on the podcast were like, oh, it was the worst fucking show ever.
Yeah,
I was wasn't bad.
If it wasn't that bad, then who gives a shit?
And they had Tommy Dreamer there, and they had, Al Snow, and a couple people, like, popped
up.
Oh,
Head.
And,
I know that guy.
Popped up in a gimmick. All right,
guys. We're back in.
Nice. I'm back. Welcome back. And that was nothing. For the fucking, like, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Paul got himself a lot of Head.
Yeah. Because of Al Snow. Because
he wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fine.
What did he want?
Head.
So, what I was saying about the Young Bucks, though, is when I watch
them. And I'm out.
What kills me about in this, and like now I'm going to sound like Jim Cornette when I say it, is that the super kick would finish the match. If Stevie Richards hit the Stevie kick, the match was over. When Shawn Michaels hit the super kick, the match was over. These motherfuckers are hitting 13 super kicks a match. It's Suplex City, but Super Kick Party.
They don't need to act like the Young Bucks are the first ones to ever fucking do that, though, because whenever, remember fucking Glacier in WCW?
Yeah.
He would have a super kick all the fucking time and would never win a fucking match. Yeah, no. So don't even act like the Young Bucks
what
are
about
exposing the business because
about
they don't
the,
yeah, get out of here, man.
Of,
all right.
No, this shit was happening in 1997.
You seen Glacier?
What about the Meltzer driver?
That shit's fucking sweet.
Okay, Paul, think about this.
What the fuck's a Meltzer driver?
Think about this. I got
sounds
you,
like a sandwich.
I got you in Tombstone. I got you in Tombstone position.
Tombstone.
I got you in
Undertaker's going to hit a Tombstone.
I got you in the tombstone position, and Brandon Singenthaler front flips off the fucking rope and catches your ankles and spikes you.
Bam.
Right?
Wait, which
I'll,
way do I go?
I'll pile you in a pile driver. You're getting tombstoned.
Oh, okay.
But he's doing a front flip to spike you. So he's going to front flip, catch you, and I'm going to fucking drop you as he spikes you.
All right, right on.
Okay. So it's a spike pile driver.
You got it, K?
It's a spike pile driver. I'm getting
it's
worked
a spike
up.
Driver.
I'm getting worked up. It's a spike pile driver. Right? It's a spike pile driver, but the motherfucker's doing a front flip into you to fucking spike you.
And honestly, if anything, you're losing momentum with the
and
front
the motherfucker, the motherfucker, like, will pin him and it'll be a one count. It's like in the first 3 minutes of the match.
You think wrestling was fake.
It's just like, I'm like, holy shit. Of course the flips and flying and shit's so impressive. But I'm like, god damn. I guess, I don't know.
I want to see Cirque du Soleil when I go to a fucking, when I watch it on
and
TV.
And that's
like
why
I go
you,
to a match.
You would be the person they're drawing in.
Yeah.
And I fucking, I don't want to sound like I'm ready to watch.
Where's
Lou
old school?
Thez?
Why isn't he walking on the ropes?
Yeah, where's Lou Thez at? Like,
in the same regard, okay, so take. Okay, so you're saying that their move, the Meltzer driver, is getting kicked out in a one count, and that's like their finishing mover. But how many people have we seen since the 80s that have done a DDT? When Jake
DDT's
the Snake,
the
when
same
Jake
way.
The Snake does
I'm
it, it's the most
you.
Devastating maneuver.
I am with
but
you.
When anybody else does it, it gets a fucking 1.5 count.
The DDT's
it's
same
not
way.
Just the Young Bucks.
I mean, it's
everybody
not.
In the business.
WWE's same
does
way.
It.
You even got John Cena doing fucking
the fucking
Canadian
springboard stunner.
Springboard stunners.
Don't fuck yourself, John Cena.
And Canadian destroyers. Did you see him try and do that with Kevin Owens?
Yeah, it was awful.
And he fell on his head. He tries to do a front flip fucking pile driver.
Wait, with the holding the guy?
Yeah.
Is it off a turnbuckle?
No, it's like one of the coolest moves.
On the ring?
It's like one of the coolest moves, and John Cena tried it and almost killed himself.
Wait, so
he got the inspiration from Buff Bagwell.
They're holding the guy like in a pile driver stance, and then they front flip with him?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're correct.
But flat ground.
Yes,
that
you're
is
correct.
Fucked.
Yeah, and John Cena decided to try and do it with like a 300-pound dude.
Oh.
And the 300-pound dude didn't go.
Didn't move that much?
And just sat down.
Just figured how physics works.
He's like, well, here goes your career.
Yeah. But I know I get what you're saying, because even when I watch a WWE
How was the guy? How was the fat guy?
He was all right. He just sat on the guy's head.
It's Kevin fucking Owens. He's he's a tank.
He's fine, yeah.
Right on.
But
I was making sure you guys kind of glossed over him.
When you watch
I like him.
Yeah.
When you watch any WWE event, I get what you're saying, because everybody kicks out of finishes, and they kick out of it 3-4 times. Everybody has to do their finish 3 times.
It's overdone.
For a match
for
to
everybody.
End. And yeah, so I guess what you're saying is that's the way of the future, and everything should be that way.
I don't think it should be that way, though. Mm. I'm with you on, I don't think, finishing maneuvers should be finishing maneuvers. I don't think you need to kick out of it.
Yeah.
You need to make it special if it
and
is going to get kicked out
of.
Not
do it 3 times in a match.
Yeah, like.
But what about, there's so many moves that are being used as just normal moves that are finishers, like the Meltzer driver. Like, that shit should fucking end a guy's career. Like, he should be out for 6 months after taking that. Just fucking out, sitting at home, hanging out from taking a Meltzer driver.
I'm going to blame this and many other things on something I always bitch about, and that's the motherfucking PG rating.
In what?
The TV PG rating.
It's geared towards children now?
Yeah. Their baseline is a lot younger, so they can't do as many maneuvers, which is why they don't call moves anymore, because kids can't grab onto that.
What do you mean? Why can't they grab onto it?
Because they want them to buy John Cena t-shirts.
Why did they just make him win all the time?
He does.
They're taking the focus off the wrestling and putting it on merchandising.
Oh, well, I mean,
They're selling t-shirts.
Yeah.
I think that's where I disagree.
But I don't understand. Hold on. But I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't get why that would have any fucking matter.
Yeah, so what do they say instead of the moves, instead of calling the moves?
What a maneuver?
Actually, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, they don't.
Like fill it in with fluff. Like, they don't say, oh, that was a Mahi Straw Cradle anymore. That was a, you know, head scissor really takeover or anything. It's like, oh, yeah, what a maneuver. Oh,
he really rolled him up there.
Yeah, they don't
Nikki Bella on TV.
They don't call moves, and if they call a move, it's something you already know what it is. Like,
vanilla is shit.
Oh, okay. So they take away the technicality of it.
Yeah, like I learned, like,
and start to dumb it down for the little kids. Yeah. So they're more prone to watch it because they're like, I don't understand all these fucking weird words. So, like me, basically.
But hold on,
listening to you guys talk.
That's the WWE product. So when that makes you look for things like, because you can't even call a Young Bucks match. Holy shit! Like, there's so much shit going on, you can't even call it. I watched the New Japan show. It was Young Bucks, Red Dragon, fucking, who else was it? You guys know, I don't know.
Time Splitters?
Two people
they're
from
the... They're pretty fucking good.
Yeah, they were in it, I believe. They're Japanese?
No, it's,
Do they like that game?
Alex Time Shelley Splitters? And then,
They were in it. Yeah, it was Alex Shelley and his new partner.
His partner. Yeah.
Okay, so it was a four-way tag team match, though. So you got four guys in the ring. Yeah. I couldn't tell who was
this
legal.
Wrestle Kingdom 9?
Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
The opening match. 20 minutes of... And it was impressive shit. But I couldn't tell you one fucking thing they did other than a lot of super kicks and the Meltzer driver.
It's a show opener. They gotta get the crowd pumped.
But...
The match was good.
It was weird to me, man.
But also, like, when you're watching...
Sean's like, give me my old wrestling back when I couldn't understand what was happening.
I watched it just being like, Paul would like this. That's what I thought. Like, when I said,
what
I
he
mean,
thought of me.
I like people that flip... Like, I love AJ Styles. I love a lot of fucking, like, smaller, flippier, movier guys. But a lot of them have a lot of psychology to their things. I don't feel the psychology when I watch that opening match. You got something?
Yeah, fellas.
Show opener.
You know,
they gotta get the crowd pumped.
I thought you were gonna say something.
What do you show? What's up?
I wanted to. Well, I actually wanted to bring it back to them not being able to call moves.
Yeah.
And I was like, are the video games in the future just gonna be like, for the moves list, like, roll them up and pin them?
Like, maneuver. Like, no. Maneuver.
How are they going to know?
Did like, you what see the fuck? Him? He's moving forward.
Yeah.
Instead of being able to set your move as a clothesline, it'll just say, like, you know.
Yeah, it'll just, like, literally explain it on the moves list, like, when you're picking your moves.
I don't think the move names are going to disappear. Well,
I wanted to bring it back to your point. This has to do, this goes back to your, the PG rating thing, actually, Joe brought up, you think it's because of PG rating. When we were watching it as kids, in the early 90s, like 90, 92, that shit was PG as fuck.
Yeah.
That was a PG it era. But they were still calling.
Even
they
up
called
to
moves.
94, 95.
Yeah, they were calling moves. They were doing all the other shit, and I loved it, and I remember, I remember everything, and I was 8 years old.
Mm.
Like, that's the shit that, like, these kids don't have today, and that's what I miss. You can make the product still PG and still believable and have a good story. They don't... The stories are fucking stupid.
Mm.
They don't have any fuck... They don't...
Main WWE show I equate it to, like, a Saturday Night Live nowadays. It moves from skit.
Both are
to
not
skit,
really funny.
And yeah.
But also, I think attention spans have way lessened from then, because, like, think about it. You didn't have a fucking tablet with, like, fucking, like, some bullshit game that you're all over while you're watching the show as well. That's probably why they don't add the moves. They're like, we don't need to. The kids aren't even paying attention anyways. They're like, oh, sick, that happened, and back down to their fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's a reason.
The idea is to hook a child audience, because obviously people like us are probably going to watch.
And also children buy shit. Like, they're like, dad, mom, buy me this.
Action figures, t-shirts.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, all right. Now I understand the merchandise element
and,
of it now.
I mean, we are shitting all...
It only took me 15 fucking minutes. I get it. My merchandising
turned
works.
Turned into the WWE rant podcast.
But that's why it's such an amazing crux, because, like, even though we will sit here and bitch about it, we will still watch it every goddamn week.
To their credit, I feel like we've been shitting on them, but to their credit, they are giving NXT, which is a completely different product.
It's beautiful.
Than what they do on TV. They're even bringing in people under their names, and independent Gargano and Ciampa were just
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
And they had James Storm's going to be on their upcoming ones and shit.
I've been a captive audience for fucking Ring of Honor quite a few times because when I go out and practice with Leota, TR watches that shit all the time.
That's
and
even Ring wrestling, of, he'll watch.
Even Ring of Honor is like actually like not bad to watch at all. I was like,
no,
this
Ring of Honor's fantastic.
It reminds me of like the wrestling I used to watch with like Stone Cold and The Rock and all that shit.
Yet, you know, I think WWE really missed the boat on Jay Lethal. Like, they had an opportunity to pick him up, like, in, like, 09 or something when he was doing, like,
Black Machismo.
And they didn't. They passed on him. And now look at him. He's, probably, they, he's like, the biggest name in Ring of Honor.
For they,
and he's... I've always thought he was great.
They were always completely against TNA. Anybody who went through TNA, they wouldn't sign you. And that was one of the big things about Samoa Joe signing. Yeah. Is because,
the numbers don't lie.
Because they wouldn't... They, it was like, if you went to TNA, you were kind of... Unless you were a big star like Christian or Jeff Hardy or something like that. Like, you were... they didn't want you because you were, like, tainted by TNA.
Well, I mean, why is it a taint, though?
Because
that's weird.
TNA.
That's a weird thing to say. Why is that a taint? Well, because it's between the balls and the asshole.
But anyway, so wrestling.
Yeah.
We went pretty ridiculous.
Yeah,
so,
sorry,
how's Survivor Girl?
Yeah, sorry, guys. Yeah. You know what? That's a... You can see our true passion.
Was not your band.
I don't really give a fuck about playing the drums or any shows. Like Joe and I really were in a band together just so we can watch wrestling on the show. That's the only reason why.
We just have a different opinion on like the Young Bucks. So it was interesting. It was interesting to
That out. Yeah,
to converse.
So anyway, no, I agree. I mean,
play one of your songs.
Yeah, okay.
No, but what were you going to say, Paul? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was like, it's like when me and Chris started talking about, Chris Clem started talking about comic books and shit. Like, your eyes just, like, glossed over, and you're like, I don't know what this means.
Before we move
I get passion.
Out of the wrestling conversation.
Yeah, please, Bob.
Oh, please, bring it back in.
Don't you guys have a wrestling ring now?
Yes, we do, actually.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, when are we booking territory?
Oh, it'll take some time.
Well, it will be ready by the summertime. There's some cosmetic stuff we need to do to get it working and
this
able
was
for
a, what,
people.
Now, was this just a backyard ring, or is this a legit...
Yeah, it's a 12-foot backyard ring.
Yeah, it's 12 by 12, but it's actually the one that Scene Magazine...
What's an actual ring?
Scene Magazine posted it. WWE rings are 20 by 20, but most like indie rings are like 16.
WCW was
18 by 18, and then like a lot of indies are like 16 by 16. Yeah. So.
And WWE uses a 16 by 16 at all house shows, too.
You know... Right. Like
that's are not those are non-broadcast shows, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So no, you're all right. Hey, teaser.
But you're wrestling.
It's coming.
The wrestling ring. Somebody posted it on. Oh, I think Seth Norton from Bleed to Sleep.
Yeah.
Posted it on my
Precambrian
wall.
Era.
Precambrian era. Mm. Is he a past guest?
Yeah. We premiered their song.
That's right, because you know this is the place to do everything.
Yeah, and premiering songs.
We're here.
Talk for an
That's
hour.
That's why we're here.
This is going to be a good segue. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So
I shouldn't have called it.
He posted it on my wall saying it was a Scene Magazine had a wrestling ring for sale.
Yeah.
And then somebody saw it. Rooster, I think Rooster saw, and he.
I think someone tagged him.
And then you guys were talking and said, "Hey, let's go get this," and. I thought they were joking.
How'd
and
you
it
move
was like
it?
It was a Saturday morning.
I drove a box truck.
Yeah,
sick. Put the whole thing in it,
like a rider
like sideways.
Truck.
Like,
oh no, it was completely dismantled.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We had to.
You guys are going like motherfucking. I remember back like Mick Foley, "Have a Nice Day." You have to go grab the ring. Mm-hmm. You got to carry it down fucking 10 flights of stairs to the truck, drive it to the arena.
That shit was not
yourself.
Fucking light either.
Oh my god!
And there was only three
I'm
of us.
I'm glad it's
you
not
got,
light though.
No, hell no. It was
metal posts,
dude. It was fucking awesome. Like we were smiling ear to ear. We were working moving this thing, but I think if our dicks were so hard that day, like, I don't think my dick has ever been that hard in my life. Like.
Your girlfriend's like, oh my god.
That's all it takes.
A wrestling ring.
Dude, I don't care.
You're ready to take bumps.
We fuck. Yeah, dude, it was, it was like a dream come true. So when you're a kid, you know, you got into wrestling when you were a kid. You did, I did, you know.
We would build rings out of.
Oh, shit, I would just, like, be on the bed with my wrestling buddy.
Check this
Not like a friend, but like the actual wrestling buddy. Paul Hogan or, like, Ultimate Warrior. Those are the two
check
I had.
Check out this motherfucking ring we had. We would, go into the woods at the Owens Cornering. You know what I'm fucking talking about? That fucking factory on Southwest Avenue. You cut through the woods to Owens Cornering and steal all their pink insulation. And we fucking made a wrestling ring and all these tables out of it. And we had bamboo and fucking real rope. Bamboo sticks as our post, dude. We were fucking off the wall. And we would just break insulation nonstop.
Like, when you're a kid, you know, you don't have any money.
Probably robbed that company of
That's like the one thing as a wrestling fan as a kid that you want is a wrestling ring. But now, we're all 30. And we have money. And we're like, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
So we bought it. And, it's in Rooster's backyard.
Hey, he lives out in the country, don't he?
Nope.
He moved into the city.
He just bought a house next to the street over from my parents.
Oh, yeah.
So in North Hill.
Oh, so you guys got costumes covered.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of things covered that we probably shouldn't.
So, what are you going to do with that? What's your ultimate goal with this wrestling ring? Hey, normally I say this about, what's your ultimate goal with your band coming up? But no, I'm like, what's the ultimate goal with
it's
this
It's not even Survivor ring? Girl, it's the fucking wrestling ring.
Joe, what's your ultimate goal with this?
I don't know, I just, like...
You guys gonna start? You can train yourselves in it. Start taking bumps.
Well, here's my thing.
Go work.
Well,
yeah, I went over there once and ran the ropes.
Go be the boogeyman.
What I was gonna say.
DDP started his career at 36.
So what a lot of people don't know is
you got years.
Rooster has professional wrestling training. However many years ago he trained to be a wrestler, and so he knows how to take like your basic bumps and also the crap. So I want to do that, but my only dream with this was I didn't think very far into it. We gotta get a ring. We get a ring. All I want to do is hit the ropes. Like, that's all you think about.
You got cable, or you got real rope?
They're rope.
It's real rope?
Right?
No, they're cable.
It's cable?
Whatever.
Thank God.
I don't fucking
they're real
know.
Rope.
Cable.
No, it's cable.
Cable's the way to
they're
go.
They're all taped up, though. They're taped. Yeah. So.
No, man, I've run them. They're
rough.
Cable.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, real rope is way worse than cable.
Oh, okay.
It still is a bitch.
Might be.
So I'm just like, yeah, okay. Now that we have a ring, now you don't think past that because you're like, I'm never gonna get a ring. So I'm like, well, you know, well, okay, now we have a ring. What are you gonna do with it? Okay,
whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah. So
yeah, set it up, start taking bumps, man.
Yeah, like you don't know how many people like are closet like wrestling fans because everyone was like messaging me privately saying, hey,
when you got that set up,
hey, when is that gonna get set up? I'm like, I didn't even know you were down.
That's funny. You're down. It's like being down with the clown, man.
Seriously,
to take everything back to Juggalos.
Well, it's funny because Joe and I have been friends since like 2000, and we didn't know for the longest time that we were wrestling fans. And then the day, I don't know what it was that we found out that we were. And then ever since, we've just been like, that's all we talk
about. Both of you guys,
we don't really talk about music anymore. Like, we used to have a relationship built on bands and whatever. And women, and then it turned into
wrestling.
Only wrestling.
Did you guys go through the
in Danzig?
What like Colt Cabana always describes it, where like you hit like 15, 16, and you just stop watching because you're going out and hanging out with girls.
I know what year it was. Like it was 2001. I stopped watching. I have the Royal Rumble 2001 on VHS that I recorded off of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a sophomore in high school, and I got really big into, like, you know, getting laid. Yeah. And I hit it.
Literally the same way, because I had WrestleMania 19 is my last VHS tape I had from a pay-per-view. So that would be 10th grade. 2003, fucking, and yeah, I
did that with comic books and Power Rangers. yeah, you know, I get it. I'm with you guys.
That's what happens. It's literally what happens. You
got to stop reading about dudes in skin tight clothes. I understand.
Then, and then
you want that puss.
I could tell
and
you.
Then you start again. Start all over again.
Yeah, then you get like 25, and you're like, wait, no, that shit's still sick.
I can tell you what got me back into it. I ordered a fucking AWA documentary on pay-per-view. It was like in 2006 or 7 whenever they put that out, and fucking I watched that and it just got my love right back into it.
Yeah.
I ordered another documentary and fucking and I just started getting all this Nick Bockwinkle footage and shit. I just got like
that's a weird name.
Really fucking weird. Nick Bockwinkle was the man, dude.
I found out you guys had a wrestling ring because I posted that thing about the Rolling Pin, a cooking show with wrestling based dishes.
I
That you was, guys can have it if you want.
That was still one of the best threats I've ever seen.
And you didn't even like the status. Sean never likes anything I do online.
I commented an asshole.
No, he commented on it because he was tagging it. Never liked anything.
I commented a bunch on it. I think
we had some winning dishes, though.
Yeah, there was some incredible ones. I forget all of them.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull up the thread.
I just remember my first one, the torture rack of ribs, Michael Coleslaw.
That's fantastic.
Michael Coleslaw.
But I also stated that the coleslaw had to be really shitty.
Somebody had D'Lo hash browns.
Oh, yeah. Food.
That sounds like a Rick Miller.
It's funny because I was like Wikipediaing like wrestlers and shit like that, trying to make up names because I don't know any. And so that's all I was doing. That's how I came up with all my puns.
Yeah. Like some Al Snow piece.
I'm not.
That one was. There were so many on the list. I don't think anyone got any Al Snow on there.
I think I was busy at work that day, so I wasn't on my Facebook.
Dude, that thread went on for like 8 hours.
I know I got a couple zingers in there, but you know.
It was a solid thread.
Every once in a while, you know, things pop up.
That was a high idea of mine, which I thought wasn't a thing, but turns out it is. I was going to go highideas.com, but they already do stuff.
They already have that?
I think I was posting stuff at like 4 a.m, being like, man, I hope I'm not waking anyone up.
Oh, yeah, I'm just getting like.
When it first happened, I was just going back and forth with somebody. I forget who.
Probably me. No, and me too.
No, me and you were sitting there, but
wow, that's fucking dumb. You guys are like, instead of saying it, you're like, no, dude, read your phone.
Yeah.
No,
I did another one.
Now we were yelling them at each other, like I was out in the kitchen making food, and I was like yelling whatever my decisions were. I don't remember what any of mine were.
I don't remember mine either.
I had Junkyard Hot Dog. That was my favorite one.
Junkyard Hot Dog.
Who did Hulk Hoagies?
That was me. Hulk Hoagies was me for sure.
I had a Dudley Boysenberry Pie.
Yeah. Sean snorted. That's a bell in itself.
That's funny. So anyway, Survivor Girl.
Yeah.
What is you guys that? Got some new tunes.
What are those?
Songs that are played.
We have an entire album worth of new tunes.
Wow, actually. Really? How many?
11.
Holy shit.
11 tracks again. On there.
Now are you guys taking songs from the first EP and like putting it on there, or is this all new shit?
All brand new.
Hell yeah. I actually fucking put towards the Kickstarter, I feel like. That did Scott do that?
You guys had a fuck Kickstarter?
Right on. I feel like you guys did, because he was like, yeah, I'll give you a copy at the show. I never got one of the original CD, but I threw down for it. Or maybe I bought it like before it came out or some shit, like pre-ordered. Pre-order. You guys didn't have a Kickstarter.
If that's the case, I'll get you both CDs.
All right, cool. You got them in your trunk.
I didn't drive
like MC Hammer.
I have at least one copy in the car.
So. You do?
Yeah.
Signed. I'm kidding.
We can sign it by 2/3 tonight.
Please do. All right, yeah. Well, I mean.
2/3 of Survivor Girl. So you guys, where'd you record this at?
Okay, so...
Top secret location.
Jeff Clem, who is Jeff Clem in the letters, he's a good friend of ours. He actually recorded the drums at his studio space, Free Truman Productions. And then the rest of the album...
We just recorded at Scott's house. We did the...
Vocals,
we did the
bass
vocals
guitars.
In the basement, and then just... Did the bass direct in?
Are you guys gonna Spotify it? I asked earlier, but
did Scott do that on his own?
I think he recorded that in the basement also, just mic'd his
hell name. Yeah, right on.
But the first album's now on Spotify, and as soon as the second album is
finished,
ready to go, then it will be up there promptly.
But you guys will also have hard copies at the show October 30th at Musica.
Oh, that is correct. Yeah, hell yeah, yeah. We will have hard copies, like, if you want to buy a CD, you can...
the hardest copies.
You can support...
Like Morningwood copies.
You can support our hard copy.
Hell yeah.
But we just want to get the music out there, so we put it up on Spotify.
Definitely, yeah.
Because I'm an avid user of Spotify.
Me as well.
I think everybody else probably is.
I was talking about this with somebody else. It's so hard to download music nowadays.
I don't know how to download a fucking thing. So
you guys been to Kickass Torrents, huh?
No. The thing about that is, it's not...
Fair enough, Bob.
Not the kind of shit that you want to find that you can find on Spotify.
You can find some shit on Blogspot.
Like, if I want to listen to every... Yeah, and you... But
I'm more about just paying for Spotify,
If
though.
you've find something on a Blogspot, but you get like one rapid share download a day or some shit like that, or every 30 minutes. So you might only get like one fucking Agnostic Front album that took you a half hour to download, when I could just pay $10 a month to listen to it whenever.
Yeah, 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 but then you got rapid share and the Media Fire and like something you about like Alligator or something like
Up Store.
You guys on Bandcamp too?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
God, yeah, play me a song so we stop fucking mumbling about chatting. Jesus.
The first song
we're going to play Good or Shitty with your song.
Yeah. Oh, hold on a second.
I don't have Good or Shitty.
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
It's got it.
Oh, wait.
Oh, shitty.
Good or Shitty is our music bit that we completely stole from the Maxwell Show.
But I completely made ours
where
by doing that.
We listen to new music and talk all over it the whole time.
But we don't have to talk all over this. We can just, at the end, be like, shitty.
We can if we want. Okay. Yeah, and then we judge whether or not it's good or shitty.
Wrong.
All right, well, yeah, this is Main Squeeze.
Scott or you?
That's nice harmonies.
I just want to hear like Hail Satan one time.
I don't think it's coming.
No, it's
not. Educated guess.
The vocals have definitely improved a lot. I think he's gotten better at singing. I don't want to, like, I mean, the last one was great, too. But he's been doing this longer now. You know what I mean? It's been 2 years of Survivor Girl. I mean, instead of coming straight out of the Ichabod Crane trying to sing.
I think it's just with this album, we definitely felt more cohesive. Like, we had, like,
comfortable.
Well, what was it, like a year, right?
No, yeah. It's only been a little over a year that this has been a band, and it just... We actually released two albums in 1 year. So, the first album we released in March of this year, we're releasing this one October of this year.
Huh.
Yeah, because we don't give a fuck.
Obviously. Everything on there, the
drums
awesome.
Sound beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
The guitars, bass, and vocals sound fantastic. Yeah, you guys did a great job.
I know you've had trouble your entire life of
playing drums.
No.
I still do.
No, I meant, I was going to say, finance.
I think about quitting every day.
Joe, you like wrestling that much? We got a ring.
Finding somebody to capture your drums sounding well.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Actually, so the guy who... mixed the drums on this actually also did my hardcore band Feds. He recorded that album, and that album is one of the best sounding records I've ever been on.
I remember talking to you about it, and you're like, he does a lot of like good like snare work and shit like that, and that's what you needed for this band, because you do a lot of that like what's that
I
called?
Have a lot of like ghost notes and just like any sort of like dynamic, like, you know, when I'm playing
just the triggered hit.
Yeah, when I'm playing in Feds, that's just straight hardcore, just fast as fuck. This I get to like explore my actual drumming sensibility. Like, I can do shit that I don't get to do when I'm playing.
And not only that, you
get
to put
band.
Your own thing on it, because, like, all those, like, what, like, which note you choose, like, hit hard, and, like, mm-hmm. which note you don't, like, that's all
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's all your dynamic.
Like, your personality,
swap,
basically.
Do you swap in a traditional just for fun when you're playing?
No.
no, but
you should at least whiplash. Do it in the music video. That'd be great.
Well, actually, the music video, spoiler alert, I do
spoiler,
have...
Spoiler, wait. You guys already
they
filmed another
one? With...
We have a...
Slow Mutants.
We've done two videos so
Jorge
far.
Before, well, didn't you?
Yeah, Captive Audiences was Slow Mutants, correct?
No, sorry, go ahead, John.
Man of Your Dreams was with Jorge and the Slow Mutants.
Yeah.
And then we just... filmed a second one for Main Squeeze, which was a song we just played.
Now, Captive Audience, why am I thinking that right now?
That's the name of the second album.
Okay, right on. maybe Jorge told me that he did Captive Audience, but yeah, all right, fair enough.
The spoiler alert was I do have a drum solo on a bunch of apples.
Holy yeah. shit.
That's the way to do it.
In the new video.
And you remember Kent Sliney from Forever Undone?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the Light Years videos, he plays a drum set full of pizzas.
Little Caesars.
Nice!
Yeah. like, all the cymbals are pizzas and everything. It's yeah, fucking sick.
Good little for him. What a great
and
guy.
And fucking, it's pretty pizza ridiculous because it really beats the hell out of a pizza. Like,
it's a waste of a good
his
pizza.
His snare, yeah, his snare's just a destroyed pizza. It's just beaten right down to dough.
I'm pretty sure he takes, like, a slice of the end and eats it off the snare or some shit. I don't know.
it's then ridiculous. It's not really that wasted.
But it was, like, a pop-punk joke.
Yeah, they donated it to Africa. they probably did.
Jesus. So you guys are releasing this October 30th. What's the Facebook? Just Survivor Girl.
Band you can even
camp,
just
survivorgirl.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, or if you're interested about the show at Musica, you can just search Slasher Sock Hop 2 on Facebook and it'll pop right up. And
I think even Halloween Sock Hop comes up as well.
And we're both in the Devil Strip this week.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Hey, look at that. How did that work out?
Who interviewed you guys?
Well,
that was Fearless Leader who handled that interview.
Scott took over they interviewed Scott for this. I'm not sure, but according to the write-up, it went pretty well.
So yeah, with ours, they emailed me personally, so I just shot the questions to everybody and then had everyone answer and just went through and typed, like, one line from each person for each answer. So there's, like, three things for each answer, and it's just, like, one from each of us basically describing whatever the hell they wanted. And it was really weird because the other podcast they interviewed took it a completely different direction, and they answered every question like they were from fucking Mars.
I guess their whole podcast is based off of, like, being in character. Like, they go into, like, weird, like, situations, like they make up scenarios and stuff like that, so they answered it as a different fucking character.
Here we are
like giving,
like,
it the true honest, like, yeah, hey, what
they're right. Like, what do you like? And we're like, Metro Parks. And the other guys are like, the devastation of the world. And we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, God. How's that in Akron?
Yeah, we're different.
Can I view that? Because it was like, what are your favorite parts? Did you guys get, like, a questionnaire, or was it?
I don't know.
They said Scott handled it all. Yeah,
right on.
No idea.
Yeah, so is Scott's, like, your main guy? He might be even mad that you guys are, like, you might just be out here spreading information.
No, literally, I've tried to get him on the podcast like three fucking times.
You know, some people don't want to do it, Paul. You can't.
I guess again, elusive bass. That's how I see him.
At least he's honest and doesn't say hell yeah, I'll be there, and doesn't show up.
Very true. Yeah,
he's
very
always doing
front
so much though. Like, he.
Well, no, he works a job in the morning, so I understand.
Randomly, I don't have to work tomorrow, so this actually worked out pretty well. But I would have done it anyway. But you know what? He's a family guy, and he's
I'm not
got the
busting
career
nuts. I was
thing,
just saying.
So,
I like Scott Roger.
And you know, if we were sitting here with Scott and we talked wrestling the entire time, I don't think it would have went over very well. So
he gets enough of that.
The conversation would have been different if he, because then I could talk to Scott about life, love, and happiness.
You wouldn't. What the fuck?
You know what? Like, the first time I was on the podcast, we didn't talk anything about wrestling.
No.
And I was kind of disappointed.
I think we talked an entire hour.
Dude, Sean hyped himself up for this bullshit. He was like, he was listening to fucking WWE fucking intro songs for 2.5 hours.
Right before I came here, I was at a house show on Crosby Street. And, like, literally, they were playing the John Cena entrance theme
the entire time. Yeah, that sounds like a party I would have left too.
You guys like this new trend of putting
John Cena and everything?
I don't get it.
I get it, and I think it's
pretty
funny.
Have you heard that? It's John Cena, correct? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've heard that.
So, like, they take famous movies now and shit, and, like, and then John Cena.
Hold on, you gotta hear
it. The Jack in the Box one was great. Go ahead.
The genesis of it kind of came from a prank phone call. Am I speaking out of turn here?
No, you're absolutely right.
So it was like they were calling this lady saying, like, do you like family activities? And she'd be like, yeah. And then you'd be like, the cops see John Cena! And like, she's like, and then they kept calling her.
The one was like, is Champ there? Who? Champ? Who is Champ? The Champ is here!
Come see John Cena at the Super Megaplex!
It's pretty funny. So then, that thing came out like 2 years ago, and it's just now like
becoming viral.
Yeah, so people are kind of ruining it for me. But
people always got to find it because RKO out of nowhere.
That was fantastic.
Everybody's got to find a new one now.
Yeah, yeah.
RKO out of nowhere.
You're wondering, they have a tremendous Randy Orton Halloween costume with the muscles and the tattoos.
You're gonna get it.
No, but I think it'd be...
Like you're building
I'm
up.
Just an advocate.
You just need to RKO people out of nowhere in that costume.
Randy Orton's tattoos are weird. Like he
tribally, right?
Well, no, he had the tribal for a while, but he...
What, did he get lasered off?
He broke his collarbone.
And got it lasered off?
No. Surgery? Tribal's still there, but listen. He breaks his collarbone.
Uh-huh.
He comes back. He comes back like
no tribal,
4 weeks later with full sleeves of the lightest, faintest skulls you've ever seen. Like, his tribal looks three times as dark than his skulls.
Yeah.
Did you notice this?
Yeah, like, if you're trying to cover that up, man, you did an awful job.
Yeah, like,
it's all coverage. It doesn't matter what it is.
His skulls all the way down to his arms are just, they're just really light. Like, I want to see, like, it's just really light. You know what I'm saying?
I know that, like, we're talking about Randy Orton, but, like, I have a clear view of Bailey's wicked side boob, and I can't stop staring at it. Like, can you see that? Like, look at that cleave. Look at that cleave shot.
See a little side booty too, Bailey booty.
Bailey from NXT, she's underrated, but she has got her ass is ginormous. Gigantic. It's like the size of Connecticut.
Honestly, that picture doesn't do justice at all. Then
no.
Well,
but
it's just a side view. You can't. It's PG.
Not even a side view.
PG, Paul. PG.
Oh, fair enough.
Kayfabe, bro.
Yeah, kayfabe.
So anyway, you guys want to take a break, and then are you guys going to stick around or you got somewhere to go? We're going to do a small news segment.
Yeah.
No, we're here.
Find some news while we
You got
do
another
this.
Song you wanted to play or
I
not?
Do. Yeah.
I like nudes.
Go ahead and kick it. Yeah, and that's why you'll stop by and Playboy starting March 2016.
Nudes.
No.
Welcome to the nudes.
Play us another song during the break.
All right, this is All Signs Ignored.
Hell yeah.
Searching for flaws.
Effects.
Dude, everything. Honestly, that movie was fucking sick. I was super blown away by it. I heard he's doing a sequel.
How are we going to do that?
Keep talking about it, man.
I hope he does.
This is already got me written in for some part.
Jorge's a cool fucking guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, he's a past guest.
Mm-hmm. Jorge.
We're wooing in the background.
Man, I love to woo.
Woo!
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 Woo! You got a news story today, Paul?
Yeah, I do.
Josie sent me one, but it's really fucking weird.
Yeah?
It's really fucking weird.
Did we already go over the kid with the Doritos?
No.
That was he's called Too High?
No.
All right, well, I'm not going to do that one anyways.
Really?
Yeah. Woman sues... Oh, you want to hit the news?
You're going to do that one?
Oh, shit.
One. Yeah, it's a really weird news story. It's fine. Hit the news segment, Josie. Hit the sound for me.
Bobby, Paul, and Sean, where are you? Got some news for you now.
All right, 911 call of Too High guy found surrounded by Doritos.
What's up? Headline
again.
I heard you. Yeah, a 911 call. A guy was too high.
Yeah, a guy found surrounded by Doritos.
Oh, I think I have heard the story. Go ahead.
All right. By now, the nation is aware of the poor 22-year-old from Austintown, Ohio.
Hell yeah. Bell.
Who called 911 earlier this month to say he was too high and
I read this. Like, I feel like it was a week ago, though.
Did we do this?
No, I don't think
so. And that's why I was confused. And it was later found by police surrounded
What's
by...
What's the date of this article, though?
Hold on a second. One day ago.
Anyway, but this really shows the honesty of marijuana users. Like, they are definitely type of people, like, when they get pulled over and the cop's like, you got weed on you? And they're like, yeah, it's in my pocket.
Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah, you're calling the story, actually.
Go for it.
He was later found by police surrounded by Doritos and cookies. Now his dankest hour.
Yeah.
Guys? HuffPost. They know the puns.
Okay.
Has been made public. In 9-11. He was found in the building.
911.
In a 9-11 call.
911.
In a 911 call obtained by WJW on Wednesday, the sad sap explains that he can't feel anything.
WJW is fucking Fox.
That's Cleveland,
ain't it? Yeah.
All right. The sad sap explains.
Austin Town's outside of Youngstown.
The sad sap explains that he can't feel anything.
Geography with Sean asked. It's like a little suburb town. Austin Town. We've had guests from Austin Town.
You didn't hit geography.
And now
she's trying.
Geography
with Sean asked.
A dispatcher asks, "Okay, what do you take?" And he responds, "Weed."
He took weed?
Yeah, he took weed. He's been taking weed all day.
Fair enough.
The caller sounds upset, and the dispatcher's tone changes from serious to comforting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the dispatcher says, we'll send an EMS right over to check you out, okay?
Okay, just tell me what happened when they found him.
I'm giving you the transcript.
About the fucking soap opera between him and the fucking dispatcher.
Well, the rest of it is, okay, thank you, the caller replies. So fuck you, I'm going to fucking end it. It turns out he was indeed okay. He refused. I wish I would have been like, it turns out he was indeed dead. He refused medical attention and gave the responding officers the keys to his car so they could find his stash. Inside, they found a jar of marijuana, two joints, and paraphernalia. Because he's in Ohio, the caller now faces possession charges. That's it. He's fine, though. But a pile of Doritos. I wanted to go with my second news story, but you already had it. I'm sick.
It's a weird news story. I don't want to do it.
Let's No, it's fucking rad.
What, the woman that sues her 11-year-old or 12-year-old nephew?
Yeah, wait, but for what?
You've hyped it up so much.
It's a weird news story.
Can I give you the headline?
Yeah, just tell it, Paul.
Woman sues 12-year-old nephew for wrist-breaking hug.
What a fucking bitch.
What
a mammoth 12-year-old.
That's what I'm saying.
She didn't even sue him like when it happened either.
The kid was 8 at the time.
Oh, well.
Wait, hold on. After debating for 20 minutes, that's all I read. You're like, she didn't even sue him right then.
She was upset about the way it impacted her life in her third floor Manhattan apartment. Read the article, motherfucker.
Oh, okay.
How old
Wait,
is she?
Why don't you give me the news story?
How old is she?
Somebody call Vince. Sign her up right now.
All right. So she filed a $127,000 suit against him in Connecticut.
How's he gonna pay that?
He jumped into her arms when she arrived at a party.
Maybe she'll pay for that.
She arrived at her nephew's birthday party, and he was riding his red bicycle and come riding up to him, and he was like, Annie Jen. All of a sudden, he was there in the air, and she had to try and catch him. And he, as they're tumbling on the ground, he says, Annie Jen, I love you. And there he starts flying at her. That's her statement. Hey, Annie Jen, I love you. And there he was flying at me.
So obviously he was malicious.
So she told the court that she had been injured and didn't want to raise the matter at the time because he didn't want to ruin his birthday.
And because his mom died earlier that year.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And then
I'm going to wait for the lawsuit. Wait for the mom, you know, dying, passes over.
She lived in Manhattan, and it was very difficult to walk up to her third floor.
Oh, with a broken wrist, what's she doing? Handstands?
She lives in Manhattan.
Are you kidding me? This cannot be real.
This bitch already has money.
It's definitely a real story, but this is so fucking stupid. She was at a party recently, and it was difficult to hold her hors d'oeuvre plate.
She's 54, by the way.
Her hors d'oeuvres.
I picked up too many cheesecakes.
So she's suing for $127,000 because her wrist is broken. It's too hard to hold her hors d'oeuvres.
I can't hold my chutney.
Can you sue an 8-year-old kid? Are they 12. Suing his parents?
She sued 12. Him. Sued him for negligence and carelessness.
Of a sued him.
Kid. Yeah. A kid.
He's a kid excited about getting a bike for his birthday. Fuck off, aunt.
And. So
Cornell is claiming the boy acted unreasonably
by jumping.
By hugging a family member
because 8-year-olds act reasonably.
12. He's
nobody,
12.
No, he was 8 at the time of the incident.
Yeah. This is 4 years
like
after.
Like the judge would be like, "Well, did he say I love you?" And she's like, "Well, yeah." And he's like, "Okay, well then."
Case dismissed.
I thought it was unreasonable because nobody's ever been that excited to see me.
She's a terrible person. So she lost her case, obviously. But that's the story.
I live in a Manhattan in the third floor walk up, so it has been very difficult, and we all know how crowded it is in Manhattan.
That's the story.
But she has a broken fucking wrist, not an ankle.
Yeah.
That's what doesn't make fucking sense. You know how hard it is to hold my wrist while I walk upstairs?
We got this lady that comes into my work, and she wants her 12 pack double bagged.
Oh.
There's handles built into the goddamn 12-pack.
It could rip.
Once they're 12... The bags will rip with a 12-pack in it. Jesus fucking Christ. I gotta turn the thing on its side. I guess I'm bewildering you all.
Yeah.
I understand the frustration here.
Put the 12-pack on its side and then bag it. Like, you can't even put it in a normal way.
Even if you don't want to hold it by the handle, goddamn football that shit.
Nah, God, these women.
Oh, hold it. Okay, I was like, what do you mean? Like, throw it at somebody?
That too.
Speaking of
pick.
Women. However, gets there faster. You have these Playboys hanging up on the windowsill.
You weren't listening during the first segment?
I wasn't even here. You guys started
No, you
that
were
was
here
the
in
second
the first segment.
Segment.
You were here in the first segment.
When we started.
Yeah, but no, yeah. When we first started it, Playboy stopped doing nudes.
Remember, I even grabbed the magazine off the shelf and held it,
showed us some push shots
about it. Oh,
over the nipples.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you did say that.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry.
Survivor Girl.
Yep.
Misaka.
You guys got any news that you want to talk about?
I just read it.
Fellas?
The debate happened as we were talking tonight.
Yeah.
Democratic debate, right?
Mm. Yeah, you know about it.
Did Big Bill come out?
Clinton. He was probably in the audience.
Big Bill, man.
Watch.
You know what's funny about Bill Clinton is actually today at work, because I did see a post about the Democratic convention. I was like, man, I get really bored at work sometimes. Mm. And I was thinking, I'm like, you know, Bill Clinton is like, he was a rock star president. Like, yeah. If you really look at it.
Playing saxophone on Arsenio and shit.
Saxophone, you know, all the...
Getting his
the,
dick sucked.
What is the meaning of the... Like, what, you know, whatever. Or whatever the thing was.
What is?
Yeah, you know. I smoked marijuana, but I never inhaled.
Yeah.
That was in 1992 on MTV and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, he was like,
your girlfriend wasn't even born.
No.
And people still love Bill Clinton. Like,
yeah.
Now it's like... When he was in office, you know, people talked about him like, oh, this is another president that they don't like. But then it's like afterward, everyone speaks of such fond memories of him.
Right.
And you don't really hear fond memories of, like, W from office. But, man, people still treat Clinton like a
The
G.
Republicans
like, he was
treat
on Death Row Records or
Reagan
something.
Like that. But none of them follow Reagan policies, if that makes any sense. They all treat Ronald Reagan like he was the god of existence. They even did their last debate at the Ronald Reagan fucking library or in front of Air Force One.
They were blowing Ronald Reagan during that whole thing, and it's like...
And motherfucking Nancy Reagan's sitting in the audience, too. And they even ask him, like, what woman should you put on a $10 bill? And fucking Nancy Reagan's right up front. I heard somebody else point this out, but, like, Nancy Reagan's sitting right fucking there, and all of them are like, I don't know, Harriet Tubman, or my wife. Like, they're all fucking saying really weird stuff, like, my wife. And they're in the Reagan Library. I guess this is blowing your mind, too.
I don't understand what's happening.
Paul is bewildered.
Yeah.
But, like, none of us
really like that word.
None of us are old enough, like, to know even what,
Reagan.
Like, Reaganomics. And
well, Sean
when
is.
Reagan was even in office, like, I was 4, you know? Like, I don't know shit about Ronald Reagan. Like,
I don't
the
even...
only thing I know about Ronald Reagan is he did the... Just Say No to Drugs campaign.
Yeah, that was his wife, Dare.
I followed that, so.
That Dare shit?
Yeah.
Dare, man. Yeah, Dare cars.
Yeah, no, they used to pull up at Talmadge with that. I actually had a neighbor that was a cop that had a Dare car in his driveway.
Man. You got a Survivor Girl record over
I
there?
I do, yeah. Not signed, but whatever.
Fuck yeah. Well, that's a cardboard sleeve?
Yeah, it's cardboard sleeve in plastic wrap, so this is new.
You didn't go all out for the digipack or nothing?
Nope, y'all get nothing.
All the important shit's there.
We're putting this shit on free on Spotify, so whatever. You can get a fucking cardboard sleeve.
Anything else that's coming up in the future other than the sock hop?
Yeah, you guys recording another record?
A third record.
With our track record.
Not this year.
It's coming out March 2016, probably.
You got Slasher Sock Hop flyers?
I do.
Can I have one?
Absolutely. I brought extras.
I'm going to put it on my mat.
We're going to hang it up, yeah.
Don't
not in front
that.
Of Bailey.
Yeah, don't cover that one.
Yeah,
though.
There you go.
That's okay.
Okay, I also got Ron Simmons over here.
Also,
you
did the artwork for this, right, Joe?
Yes.
Oh, can I hold him?
Oh, yeah.
That is a mighty fine Ron Simmons.
I got that at Big Fun for $1.
Mighty
That's
fine.
Big Fun.
Did he come with the WCW World Heavyweight Championship?
I wish, but
room for it.
It was the same. Yeah, right. It was the same Ron Simmons figure I had when I was a kid, and I saw it at Big Fun, and I just had to buy. I tell the story every time we bring it up.
No, this is good though.
But so I took it over to the counter, and then he's like, I showed Sarah. You guys know Sarah. We were up there together. I show her. I'm like, look, it's Ron Simmons. And she's like, what? I'm like, it's Ron Simmons. I take it to the counter. I set it down. He's like, you get this from the bin over there? I'm like, yeah, man, that's Ron Simmons. He's like, no, I just wonder if it came out of the dollar bin. I'm like, no, man, it's Ron's.
Dude,
I was
completely no-sold
I'm
you.
Like, you know who... kayfabe, brother. I was like...
I keep a kayfabe alive.
I'm like, you don't know who this is? That's Ron Simmons. Like,
he's like, whatever, dude, just give me a dollar.
Remember that video game Skate?
Yeah.
And you'd have that annoying guy following you around, and anytime, like,
well,
Paul...
Well, he was your videographer.
Paul Rodriguez would skate by you, and he'd be like, hey, man, you know who that is?
P-Rod!
That's Paul Rodriguez. P-Rod!
Yeah.
So that's how I was with Ron Simmons. I was like, you know who that is? That's Ron Simmons! Damn!
And dude didn't get it. You're like, you ever played Skate?
Yeah.
He's like, no.
You know
just give
that
me
is?
A fucking dollar.
It's motherfucking Ron Simmons. I think we got an episode out of this thing.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there.
You got any more wrestling you want to say?
I mean, I could talk about wrestling all day.
Oh, we need to start our own wrestling podcast. We fucked up this.
What's the name
of the wrestling podcast?
Yeah, the podcast.
Wrestling podcast. You can't name it anything.
Superkick with Sean Ass.
Superkick parties.
Yeah, Superkick party. There you go.
Fuck yeah, Meltzer driver.
There we go.
Just steal Dave Meltzer's name and put it on my podcast.
Leg drop.
You do like
leg
the leg drop?
drop.
the leg drop with Joe and Brandon.
You're not in it anymore.
He doesn't.
Sean quit.
He doesn't want to be in the leg drop.
Yeah, I can't be a part of the leg drop.
Leg drop with Joe and Brandon, hosted by Sean.
Brother. So have a good day. Huh?
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production. Executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.